I'd like to acknowledge my co-author, Kay Lovelace, who's not on the presentation title, and all of the students that have been involved in this project. There's no funding for this, and it was actually the idea of Dr. Nancy Pfeiffer, because she was interested in finding out whether or not the women in her clinic were actually receiving preventive health care services. Now, as you know, women have seek care from multiple care providers. They often will go to a family practice doc or an internal medicine doc, and also then go to a gynecologist. And this fragmentation results in a lot of women not receiving the services that they need because they're going to all these different doctors. Well, NIH recognized this, and I guess a decade ago now, started these NIH comprehensive healthcare clinics where they would try to have one-stop shopping for women. And evaluations of these around the country showed that they did, in fact, work, that women were getting better care. But there's only 18 of these around the country, and even less at this point. And so, obviously, most women are not going to those, and they're just going to regular care providers. And the 2005 Kaiser Family Foundation survey found that this fragmentation of care still existed and that women were not getting the care that they needed. About half of the women that go to another doctor do not also see an OBGYN, and many are not receiving the screening test that they need and do not have important conversations with their physicians about calcium and contraception. So we wanted to identify the extent to which women in an internal medicine clinic that's affiliated with a teaching hospital in this large urban area were receiving the preventive health care services that they needed. And per the U.S. Health Services Task Force, we were interested in counseling about folic acid, counseling about calcium, contraceptive counseling, and cervical cancer screening. And then we wanted to see if there is a problem, then design an intervention to try to improve the care. This program serves largely low-income minority women and includes women who are in an HIV clinic. Now, we used multiple methods for this. We did a patient medical record review, a one-year retrospective cohort of all the patients that came in during a time period and then looked back over their record for a year. We looked at 243 of these. And then we did a self-administered patient survey in the clinic of over, almost 200 patients, 98 of whom were fertile, so that's mainly the people we were interested in. And then we followed up with focus groups. We did a focus group with all of the residents, all of the nurses, and then some of the patients. And I presented last year on the medical record review and the patient survey. So this year I'm really focusing on the focus groups. But I can tell you that the idea that there, Nancy was right, there is a problem. Most of the women were not receiving not cervical cancer screening. They were not having these conversations about contraception, folic acid, or calcium. There was even likely an under-documentation in the medical record when it did occur. 67% of the women who indicated they didn't want to get pregnant on the survey were not using contraception. Condom use was very low, and it was not associated with HIV status. Most patients would like to get their cervical cancer screening done at the internal medicine clinic, but they're not. Having an OBGYN in addition to an internist did not actually improve care for these women. And that fragmentation may be most problematic for women with chronic disease, because a lot of the patients who are reproductive age who are at an internal medicine clinic are sick. They have diabetes and heart disease and things like that. And so when we did the focus groups, we were particularly interested in looking at the barriers to preventive health care, suggestions for ways to improve care, and with the patients looking at what really was good care from their point of view. To analyze the data, we transcribed it, put it into Atlas TI, and then my co-author and I coded the data together, and then we separately did an analysis and then came back together to summarize our ideas and the themes that came up. Now, with the residents, we identified organizational, physician, and patient barriers to prevention. These residents are trained in chronic disease management. They're internists. They're not trained in prevention, and they're really not very interested in prevention. They're interested in treating patients. And they are treating patients who are sick. Many of the women have multiple chronic diseases, and they're complicated health care needs, and they have very short clinic visits. The doctors also believe that the patients have very limited knowledge about their own health care. They don't know what pills they're taking. They don't know what's going on with themselves, illness-wise or treatment, and then they're not very interested in prevention. And another organizational issue is this whole flowchart business. There's lots and lots of flowcharts in internal medicine clinics. It's the pink sheet, the blue sheet, the yellow sheet, the red sheet. You follow all these sheets and do all, you know, for diabetes and yada, 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 and they are just done with flowcharts. You can't put another flow sheet in there. They follow it for, I don't know, maybe a month, and then nobody pays attention to it anymore. So we have to come up with an intervention that doesn't involve these flow sheets. Some quotes from the physicians around constraint of time and illness. I think it's limited by the number of patients we're supposed to see these days. I mean, because a lot of it's time dependent, and if you can't spend a whole lot of time with your patient, you immediately deal with all the acute issues that they have. I think that when it comes to prevention, you need some amount of time, and especially in private practice. You just have a limited amount of time for patients, about 10 minutes. And sometimes I feel like it's trying to sell a used car to somebody. It's like, you know, it's time for your pap smear. Do we have to do it today? Well, by the time you come back to see me, it'll be 3 years and it'll be overdue. The patient has to know about these things and want to get them. And there has to be patient responsibility, personal responsibility for your health care. And I will say that even if the patient did say, yes, I'd like it today, she's not going to get it today because it wasn't scheduled. Also, with the nurses, we identify these same three types of barriers. The nurses support the residents' claims that they're dealing with complicated care in a short time period, but they believe that the doctors are really uncomfortable providing gynecological care and treatment. And they also believe that for any intervention to work, we have to have buy-in from all the parties and involve a change in clinic philosophy and procedures. There's a lot of insecurity on the residents' part about how to talk to patients about pap smears and contraception. Maybe they know or maybe they've heard about it, but they're just not well educated on contraception and counseling the patients about folic acid, especially the women. They'll tell the men to go get some Geritol or whatever, but, you know, I don't think they do that as much with the women as they do with the men folks. And we have a very sick population of patients that come in for continuity care, and they don't have a whole lot of time in preventive health. We don't have enough clinic times to have them come back, and then they go over with them because there's too many people coming behind them. So the onus is to address illness more than wellness. The point I'm saying is that it does us no good to initiate anything the physician doesn't intend to follow up on. So we need a clinic philosophy. This is something that's important in internal medicine organization. This is what we want the residents to do. Therefore, the nurses will be responsible for screening and finding that out. I mean, if the doctor's not going to follow through and do something about it or make an appointment later. Now, we talked with the patients, and they identified what they consider to be quality care. They believe that good doctors are those that help them navigate the healthcare system, cares about them personally, and involves them in their own healthcare. In their experiences, they are not often given the information that they need in order to make informed decisions on their own, and they are much more interested in prevention than the doctors seem to think they are. Dr. X told me, I'm not good at the insulin pump. I can't even look at it and tell you what to do. But now since I've been seeing her, she even has a doctor here that she relates to when she makes changes. So she'll go talk to that doctor, and then she'll come back. I really appreciate that. Then she'll let me know, and she'll say, you know, I don't know where to begin. And then there's this endocrinologist. They all kind of work together. They'll check it out. Let me check this out, and I'm going to talk to you about such and such, and I'll get back with you. And do doctors also care? You know, one who has the time to review your file. I mean, they even feel like the doctors don't even look at the file before they walk in the clinic. I just don't like it when they come and act like I forget to say something. If I forget to say something, he won't have a clue what's going on. And they want doctors to involve them in their own care. Dr. X, she talks to me about her time. She doesn't rush. She's real patient. She'll talk to you, tell you what she's going to do, what tests she's going to take, what procedures, what everything. She'll tell you everything. And one thing about Dr. X, too, because lots of times when I get to see her, she tells me, I educate her as well as she educates me. So I wonder if we have here a conflict or an opportunity. The patients want more direction and more information, and the doctors want more active, informed patients. So based on all of these focus groups, we developed this, you know, a sort of multi-level, surprise, surprise, framework for prevention. that involves changes at the organizational, provider, and patient levels. At the organizational level, we want a philosophy and a commitment to prevention, procedures and responsibilities, and division of care, or practice, really, who's going to do what. At the provider level, it seems like they do need more training in services on gynecological treatment to make them more comfortable, more knowledgeable, and they need to also be committed to prevention. At the patient level, they need we need them to be more aware of their own health and treatment, and also to be more proactive. So in a sense, we need to try to find a way to educate the patients, to engage them in being more proactive with the physicians, and have the physicians be very receptive and aware of what's going on and communicate more with the patients, and have a philosophy that everybody's on board with that. So next, we're going to try to use this framework for prevention to develop a low-cost, because we have no money, intervention to improve the preventive health care for women of reproductive age in this clinic. Thank you.